Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, now meeting at the Holiday Inn Express in Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Today's message, Distinction and Commonality Between Church and Kingdom, has unique undertones. I will draw a line between the church and the kingdom. They are both to be taught in this age of grace, and yet they are distinct one from the other. Their paths intersect to some extent. I will reveal how and why. One of the major tenets of the Baptists that differ from the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches is that the New Testament church is not universal. It is local and visible. The church is many, not singular. Meaning, just because you are saved and born again does not mean that you are in the body of Christ. A born-again believer becomes a member of a local assembly through scriptural baptism, which is immersion. Just as Jesus Christ was immersed in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. Understand this, my friends. Baptism comes after a profession of faith in Christ, not before. Infant baptism is an anathema and cannot be supported by any verse of Scripture. Look it up. The closest you will find a young child near water in Scripture is Moses as an infant floating down the Nile River in a bassinet, and he didn't get wet. Infant baptism is a man-made tradition that is steeped in error that will prevent millions of believers from entering the millennial kingdom of Christ and ruling with him on this earth for 1,000 years. The believer's business is not to build the kingdom, but to build the undefiled church, which is the chaste virgin to be espoused to Christ. Jesus Christ will take out of the pure, undefiled New Testament church those who will make up the kingdom in the future when he returns. Entrance into the millennial kingdom is based on a host of commandments that Jesus spells out for the believer to obey. For instance, read the Sermon on the Mount and the Great Commandment, eternal life on the new earth in a newly created heaven is based on faith alone. However, entrance into the millennial kingdom is based upon faith plus obedience. It is a reward for faithfulness in one's walk with Christ. Write to me if you want further understanding of what I am saying. Listen to the end of the program to get an email or P.O. Box address. Distinction and Commonality Between Church and Kingdom, Part 2.
Fellow citizens with the saints, or Peter used the phrase pilgrims. We are pilgrims in the earth, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So our salvation, and we are like a stone that is part of this building block. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. In these buildings, they're talking about stone buildings like the Parthenon and the temple that was built in Jerusalem, and the temples built to the false gods, the shrines built to false gods. They were all built, they were stone buildings that were built very high and tall and had statues in them, but they were stone buildings. Magnificent architecture of that period of time. And we see a lot of that in the remnant of the Roman Empire, those stone buildings. And so a habitation of God through the Spirit. And we are a building, and that as a church, individually as a church, we are a stone in this huge building that the Lord is building, that will be part of the kingdom. The quarry from which the stones cry out, rejoice as Jesus rides into Jerusalem upon a donkey. Okay, the triumphant entry of the Lord that occurred before his crucifixion. The scriptures tell us here in Luke 19, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, speaking to Jesus, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. The stones would immediately cry out. That the earth, that we are living stones, but the physical stones in the earth would cry out and praise God. You see that? Does that make sense? That there's a building, this building, and the church is significant in this building of this spiritual temple. And we are stones within the Lord. So pillars used to support pagan structures like the Parthenon, thousands of years ago, were made of stones stacked upon one another. It tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and if I tarry long, that thou mayest know that thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, the church, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. The pillar, the stone pillars and ground of truth, the foundation stone, the ground of truth. So truth comes from the Word of God. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's supposed to come from the church. And that's why the church is being censored and silenced. Why do you think they told the church and the Christians they could not bring the Bible, prayer, and the mention of Jesus Christ in the schools? They were exercising censorship long before COVID came around, right? They don't want the children to hear that. They despise that. No, they want them to see drag queens. They want them to see perverted little books about homosexuality. That's what they want them to see. The Bible is prohibited, but not those books of perversion. And your politicians voted that long time ago. When they passed obscenity laws, they gave exemptions to librarians and to the schools, the public schools and the colleges. It's just we didn't read the bill until all of a sudden all this garbage is flooding in now into the elementary schools and the school systems. And so turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter. We were in chapter 12. Now go to chapter 13 or chapter 3. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Okay? We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. All right, what is a husbandry? Farmer. Ye are God's building. Okay? Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he is the foundation. He is the ground of truth. He is the foundation of truth. And then we are the pillars that are built upon that and the walls. We are a stone. Now, if any man build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, let every man's work, okay, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And so fire will determine. A stone building can handle fire pretty well, right? A building that's made of gold, silver, precious stone can handle fire a lot better than wood, hay, and stubble. All our homes are made of, most of you in this room here have homes made of wood. And studs in the house are made of wood. And so it is more likely to burn. The roofs are more likely to burn than one that is made of stone. All disciples made and baptized between the two Advents are to be taught to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So we are to be baptized, to make disciples, and to observe all things whatsoever are commanded you. The book of Acts refers to the church as a body actually in the world, starting with the disciples and those in the upper room. This is very important. Okay? It's disciples. When Jesus ascended up to heaven, the book of Acts starts with the ascension of Jesus into heaven. 10 days, 40 days after he rose from the grave, 10 days before the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost. And they were to go into the upper room and wait for the Comforter that the Lord would send. So they were empowered by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. What is the day of Pentecost? What is that day of Pentecost? What is that? Penta means five, okay? It was 50 days after Jesus arose. But Pentecost was a feast day. Going back to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, you have, there was the Feast of First Fruits. That was a wave offering, a sheaf that was a wave offering, Feast of First Fruits, that occurred that Sunday after Passover. That was, that's in the scriptures there. Then 50 days later, they were to bring two loaves of bread and wave those before the Lord. We've talked about what that is, those two loaves. They called it the Feast of Wave Offering, or the Wave of the Loaves Offering. There were two loaves of bread, and they had leaven in them, and it was that was a feast day, and that became Pentecost, 50 days, and so that's what the day. It was an actual feast day declared by the Lord. Moses wrote it down in the scriptures in Leviticus chapter 23. Israel was supposed to have these offerings every year. But it had distinguished days and when they were to be taken place. We looked at it also when we were talking about the rapture as a picture of the harvest, different parts of the harvest of the first fruits. And so you have the day of Pentecost. And then it says here, empowered by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and enlarged after Peter's magnanimous preaching. Acts chapter 2. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And that same day there were added unto them. The key word there, circle it if you have a pen. Added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now you've heard me say this before, but you'll hear all the time that the church started there at Pentecost. You'll hear it all the time. I mean, you will hear it multiple times in pulpits. If you listen to any kind of preaching or read anything, they'll say the church started at the day of Pentecost. No, it started with Jesus. It started with Jesus. And he was the power of the church. He was the bridegroom. The church is the bride. He was the bridegroom. It started with Jesus. He empowered it with the Holy Spirit, with the Comforter, at the day of Pentecost, when he was taken up to heaven. And the church was empowered, and it was added to. But those disciples that were waiting in the upper room for those 10 days from the time Jesus ascended up to heaven till the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down, that was the church that Jesus planted. And then it was added to by the Holy Spirit and the preaching of Peter. So the church, so we see the empowered. I always say the church was empowered by the Holy Spirit now. The disciples had boldness. They came out of that upper room where they were petrified because they didn't have Jesus and they didn't have the Spirit and they had the doors closed and they were petrified. What do we do next? But once the Comforter came, the power of the Holy Spirit, it gave them a lively hope, a living hope. We're just going to preach God's word no matter what happens and tell everybody that Jesus rose from the dead. And we've seen him with our own eyes. And you killed the Messiah, you Jews. You need to repent and turn from your wicked ways. And so, that is the power. The church was empowered there in the book of Acts. So the book of Acts is a book of the propagation and growth of the church in the world. It refers to Jew and Gentile gathered out of the world into Christ and compacted together as the body of Christ. And it does so from the moment of the Holy Spirit's descent. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the church. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Jesus Christ is the head, the Messiah. Christ is the Messiah. He is the head of the church. He is the rock upon which the church was built, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now that's a big tangle of words. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compact. The body of Christ. So it says like in a membership. How does your fingers operate? If you choke off that blood flowing to your fingers, what happens? Your fingers start to turn blue. You don't feel anything, right? And that hand starts to die off. Your hand will turn gangrene after a while if you did that for a long period of time. And you won't feel anything. So the whole body fitly joined together. Also, it's a building. You think about putting blocks and mortar on blocks to put more blocks on, and you put mortar and you line it all up and you take a level and make sure those blocks are all level and stacked properly and evenly. And as you raise that wall or that pillar up. And so everything is fit jointly together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. The joints, the blood supplies your joints and your fingers and everything with blood and new tissue, new life and food for your cells according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And so the church needs to be edified. You need to be fed with manna from above. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, We need to be fed continuously in the Word of God. The next occurrence of the word church in Acts appears immediately after Pentecost and assumes the church by this time existing in the world puts in practice church discipline. Ananias and Sapphira, they died. What happened? They lied. They lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied to the church. They sold their home and they told the church, we only got this much for the house, when actually they got a lot more for the house, but they kept back. They didn't have to give all that they had to the church, but they lied to the church. And they dropped dead at two different times. And the Bible says great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. You're not going to lie to the Holy Spirit. Other churches in Acts besides the church in Jerusalem, there were many that churches went out and evangelized and started planting other churches. They were being scattered. Believers were being scattered because of persecution. And when he, Barnabas, had found him, speaking of Saul, that was his name before it was changed to Paul. He brought him unto Antioch. Okay, Antioch is a city in northern Israel. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Christians first in Antioch, where the word Christians came, means the Christ ones, those people who follow Christ. The book of Acts covers the predominantly Gentile church plants of Asia Minor. Okay, the book of Acts covers the predominantly Gentile, because the Jews rejected many of the Jews. Paul always went to a synagogue. When he went into a new city, and you have to remember the Jews were now scattered throughout the world. That goes all the way back to the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities that the Israelites were in. So there were in the known world at that time, there were synagogues in all these cities because there were Jews scattered all over. And the first thing he would do when he went to a new city would go into the synagogue and say, hey, guess what? The Messiah came. He was crucified. He died. But guess what? He rose from the grave. Jesus Christ is the Messiah.
You have been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Now meeting at the Holiday Inn Express, 13625 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.